I'm going to turn this on so it powers up. I'd like to share a couple thoughts with you. As you tried to put together the reasons for what's going on in Congo, the Africans have said, we just don't understand why this is happening to us. But one brother said, you know, what we're really doing is paying the price for a lot of the ungodliness that we all participated in. Let me just read you some verses out of Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 10. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life. They said, you know, we have sold our souls to the devil. During the 32 years of the Mobutu regime, we gave ourselves to Mobutu. He said, make me your God. And they obeyed. Dance to me. He had television spots of his coming down, his picture and his face coming down out of the clouds, like Christ returning. It was just incredible. They were to revive all the old pagan traditions and to dance to him and to sing hymns to him. They had to do away with all Christian names, all Christian holidays. And this went on for years in Congo, and then called Zaire. And this brother said, we are paying for the sins because we've never repented of it. We just did it and we've just expect everything to go fine. The other aspect was that they were taught by Mobutu that everybody should get what they want at gunpoint and by violence. And they said, that's exactly what we're doing now. All these militias are doing nothing but what he taught. Just go and grab what you can at the point of a gun. And God is bringing upon us the seeds that were sown. And he said, pray for us. He said, I do not believe that things will change until the blood of the martyrs flows, when there are Congolese believers that will shed their blood for the sake of Christ. And the blood of the martyrs will cry out to the Lord. Very interesting observation from nationals about their own situation. But the verses that follow say, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. It is a wearying thing to help time and time again. I am waiting for news as to whether the computers, the clothing, everything that we just took over was totally looted or not. It's a hard time to help over there. It's so unstable and insecure that you don't know if any help that you give is going to be destroyed right after you've given it. And so it is a difficult time, and we don't want to grow weary in helping and extending a hand. They need food, they need clothing, they need shelter. It's a very difficult time for them and very risky. But as you'll see tonight, I don't have pictures of soldiers. We tried to keep from being arrested in prison, so we didn't take any pictures of soldiers. You will see different things. This is going to be family style tonight because I've been back 2 weeks and haven't had a chance to really go through that long process of putting it into a PowerPoint presentation. So this is as I took them. I will skip over some slides, but this presentation comes just as it was taken, and so you'll see it. I did do a couple of video clips that came. I could do it on the camera, minute clips. It'll give you a live taste of the chapel there, some of our services, some of the singing groups, and give you a little bit of a taste. It'll take you on a little trip there. So I hope you will get a real feel for it. If this stays off too long, it powers down the computer too, but we should be able to run with it here. I'll sit down here. All right, here we go. This is John and Loyal, the two young men who went with me. We flew from Raleigh to London on an overnight flight. We were tired by that time, and then we had a whole day in London, so we went on the tube, and I showed them a little bit of London. As we waited for our next flight, which was that evening, So we became tourists for a day. Whoops. We didn't come back to Raleigh, I can tell you that. We then, the next morning, arrived to Entebbe, Uganda, where MAF had a plane waiting for us. And this is Dave Jacobson, an MAF pilot who used to be stationed at Nyankunde, who was there to take us in. Again, we had had a whole another overnight sleep, so we'd been up for nearly 3 days now, but wanted to get into Congo as fast as possible, so we didn't stop in Uganda. Here was taking off from Entebbe Airport. This is Lake Victoria near Entebbe. And here you can look back. There was our British Airways airplane, the biggest plane there, and this is the airport at Entebbe. When we arrived, Nyakufa, who's the vice legal representative for the assemblies there, met us there with five other men and welcomed us at the airport. We went through all formalities without any problem. This is Charlotte. She's the one who took care of us at the guest house. Here she was cleaning meat. You buy the meat raw and sometimes has bone chips in it from being hacked with a machete. And she had to clean it for us. But this is where we stayed. We were very shocked. We've never ever stayed in nice accommodations like this there. This is a new guest house that one of the wealthy men there had made and put together. And so they put us up here. And our schedules were totally off, so we were up at night looking at the stars, studying the nightlife. They said, "You got to take a picture of this gecko for us." I've never seen a gecko before. So that gecko was out at night getting bugs. But this is where I slept. We all slept under mosquito nets because of the threat of malaria. And immediately the next day, a steady stream of people started to come by. This was a faithful worker from Itende, Ageno, very thin now, lost a lot of weight because of lack of food and hiding out for his life. They had put out word that I was coming several weeks before, and so people started coming to visit me. Lots of friends. It was a wonderful, wonderful time of talking, praying, counseling. And Sunday, then we had a meeting.
See if I can do this.
This is Bunya Chapel. This is Sunday morning when we gathered together the Lord's Supper there. You can see inside Bunya Chapel, quite a few there, but not as many as this, the next service. But a precious time of gathering to the Lord. Many of these people are refugees that have come from destroyed villages and are now in town. A precious, precious time of remembering the Lord with fellow brethren. Then the second service started. See, they know a lot of the same hymns we do. They love trumpets, and sometimes in small chapels it about blows you away as it makes your eardrums ring. But some of those ladies in the different garbs were singing groups or choirs. This was my Sunday to speak and to share on forgiveness and reconciliation. and to pour out my heart about how I forgave, how God worked in my heart and our hearts to forgive after the looting of our home and the destruction of our work, and to really share with people. And God just really touched hearts and gave a really great response. I had a wonderful time of talking with many, many people afterwards. Just a real blessed time, God moving and touching hearts. Seeing a lot of friends come up to me. This is Bamu Gera, right beside me, and his wife beside him. He was the Bible school teacher at Eten Day for many years, and is still teaching Bible school students despite the hardships. This is some of his family. And Buddha, who worked with us up at Eten Day, all these people are from the tribe that were sought to be killed, and they took refuge in Bunya, hiding out. Basagere, who's an evangelist and an elder at an assembly that he started, had to flee there, and that assembly was destroyed. He's taken refuge as well. Calve, who was my yard worker and my security guard whenever we came on furlough, he would watch over our property. He was threatened and had to flee for his life from protecting our home, and that's when it was then looted. He was very bitter and very discouraged, and I had to spend a lot of time with him counseling him during that trip, this trip here. It was a difficult time for him. Kazia, she worked with Pearl at Chabi. They had to flee for their lives. She and her husband are in Bunya. And then we were able to make a trip. Loyal and John and I were able to get motorcycles. Here we're crossing the Shari River going up to Eten Day and showing the river there. But we crossed this river and into hostile territory going north through Lendu land where there's been a lot of ambushes. And people were very curious what we were doing. But we had the letters, like I shared this morning. And this is the road. This is the kind of road we have. This is why it takes several hours to go 40 miles. And being careful of the rocks and the water. I made it across, and now Loyal got off, and John is going to go through looking where to go. Loyal's trying to help him see where to go, and all of a sudden John comes roaring through and then crashed on the other side. And so then we had to look over the motorcycle to see what damage was done. And they decided that they were okay and decided they'd have a picture to document it. But you see the road behind them, not real good. You see how the people wash in the river. Sometimes the bridges look like this. Very difficult, but we made it. After 3.5 hours, made it up to Eten Day. Here are our motorcycles. This is the mother of one of the families that was in the assembly there, came to visit with me. But we went into the house and we saw the house the way in the condition it is. Here you see the washer and dryer torn apart. You can see how they even took the lights and all the sockets. Everything was pulled out. The doors taken off and stolen. The house was destroyed. Papers all over. Oil smeared on the walls. This is the drum of the dryer. Just trashed. This is the library, which last year, if you remember the slides, was full of books. Our desks were here. You can see the papers. Skylights taken out. Lights all taken. The garage. Trash everywhere. The Land Cruiser that was here was stolen and taken. And the Land Rover, which was being put back together, was totally disassembled and all the pieces taken. Oil left everywhere, all the drums, all the heavy equipment that was in this building was all taken. Nothing's there. Pieces taken off the car from radiator, everything. I mean, this car was in perfect shape and everything broken, glass smashed, just things left in disarray. All the storage facilities that had all the equipment, nails, screws, tools, everything for repairing everything on the station was all gone. Parts taken off the tractor, the sawmill totally devastated and taken apart with only the frame of the sawmill here and a couple pieces, but everything was taken. The scenery was just as beautiful as always, but it was a stressful time. You can see it on John's face. It was just kind of a very stressful time for us. Coming in there, we felt real oppression. The carnal leaders that are over the assembly were not friendly. It was a difficult time. But we were received by one couple that are dear believers that are still there. We went down to the spring to get water, and the children followed us, just thrilled to see us. They came walking down, and in their normal joy, they were glad to see me. We were able to teach them. But this is Kosianza, who is a nurse and a godly man. He and his family are still at Itende, but trying to find ways to leave because of the tremendous persecution from the carnal men. And he was telling this story about how for several months they hid out in the forest, had to live without anything out in the forest. It was a very dangerous time for them. And the Lord protected them. They came back to the station. Now, this is the McDowell's house, which was then Brooks' house. It's totally intact because the carnal man who took over the assembly by coup d'etat seized this house from Brook and moved himself in. And so it was not looted because he wouldn't let the looters loot it. And defended just the things that they wanted and moved people into it, but allowed other property to be destroyed. You can see that the microwave, all the different things were still there. They're trashing the house, but the property is still there, the wood stove and the kitchen. Well, we decided that the safest place for the night would be in our house, which was upstairs. Here, the whole upstairs was totally trashed, and so we started sweeping to clean it up and make a place for us to sleep. This is the back of our home. You see doors ripped off, all glass taken, books ripped up as they looked for money in them. You see the forest growing up around the house. This is in the living room. Again, the library, gas stoves torn up, thrown outside, a greenhouse, which we used to grow our vegetables, all torn apart and taken. We did find the mower still there. It was hidden in the grass where we had left it and with the trailer. But like I said, the tractor was incapacitated. In the midst of all the beauty was, in the midst of all the destruction was God's beauty, reminder of His careful guidance and touch and His going before us in every little detail. This is after we cleaned up the upstairs. We put up mosquito nets. Kosianza, the godly man, lent us mattresses that they had recovered. We had brought sheeting and blankets with us to be able to sleep there and protection from the mosquitoes. And that's where we spent the night while we were at Itende. Had a great time in the Word together. Next morning we had breakfast. They gave us tea and bread at Kosianza's house. We saw the destruction all around. There wasn't much to do there. The numbers of believers at the chapel had gone down from 250 to 70, but those 70, most of them were refugees that would be leaving. So it's very discouraging for Kosianza and his wife, Miriamu. This is her sister who's not saved. These are their children. But they're very discouraged, and they're just asking the Lord to be able to open up a way for them to leave. It's been very difficult on them, and they've suffered greatly. And just a couple more pictures I took of the house before I left, showing some of the malicious damage of breaking everything here, taking caps, just leaving it devastated. The kitchen, they couldn't carry the side-by-side refrigerator or the deep freeze, so they cut out the compressors and motors out of both of them and stripped the insides out of them, and there's nothing left. Just malicious. The refrigerator destroyed the stove, the range that was up here, all the cabinet work, everything, took the drawers. It just absolutely destroyed the place. Oops. The skylights were destroyed. Lights, just a wreck. This is Jeremiah. who was one of the godly elders. He has kind of given in and joined forces with the carnal men, being of their same tribe and finding it difficult to resist. We took some pictures, again, of the destruction of the equipment beyond repair. They even took off the toilets. And then as a sign of just the evil of what they're doing, they defecated in all the showers, the bathrooms, even in the bedrooms, in the closets, even in the kitchen on the countertops. Just kind of a demonic way of cursing. Very sad. But it was a hard trip going in and seeing the complete destruction of our home. The night we spent there, we put the motorcycles in to secure them in the building for the night. And there wasn't anything to recover. And we noticed even ceilings were broken through. So the next day we left and prayed with Kosianz and his wife and encouraged them in the Lord, and then returned to Bunya. And this is the return trip in the afternoon, where we got stopped by the military several times. You see the children. John and Loyal were surprised because everywhere they went, they said it was like a cheering party. All the kids going, "Yonatana, Yonatana," because they know me and they were happy to see me. But it was difficult knowing that I would not be there to continue working with them. So we left. It was very muddy, very slippery, dangerous, slipping and falling and hurting ourselves. Sometimes John would have to get off and walk, but we praise the Lord. We got back to Bunya safely. This is the compound where the guest house was. You can see the brick walls and the barbed wire around it. We are right next door to Bunya Chapel. This is the backside of the Bunya Chapel. And we got into town because we had a lot of things to do, meetings to hold, so we wanted to get back. And this is how we rode there. One of the meetings I had to be back to was this ladies' meeting. I was to speak to this ladies' group, because there was a lot of bitterness among these ladies, and God had just put it on my heart to speak to them about forgiveness and being reconciled, and that they have a large part to play in their families, because if they don't forgive, they will be communicating the anger and hatred and bitterness to their children and their families, and that God wants them to forgive. And I shared with them about how I had to personally forgive, how after our home was first looted a year ago, I could not even look at a black person without the pain coming back, and I just did not want to see a black face. But how God healed my heart and soul and helped me to love again, and that they needed to forgive their enemies as well. And God did a work there. This is Mashauri. He did our laundry. Real humble fellow, but he is of the tribe that they're trying to kill. Right behind him, I'll go back a picture. This here is a fireplace, and this is a big chimney. We tried to build, we did build platforms up in this chimney here for both Mashauri and Charlotte. In case it came during the war to a hand-to-hand combat and a search of the compound, we could hide them up there and save their lives. But they were so glad we were there. They had a real nice, gentle spirits. We're going to go to the next set. Like I said, it's family style, so this is not in a normal presentation. We've got to go one set at a time. But we were very surprised. We found a internet cafe had been established there. This woman here was not a part of our group. She was a United Nations worker from the United States, just out of university. She's kind of an idealist, thinking that by going with the United Nations, she was going to save the world's problems. But she was very disenchanted with what was happening. But we were able to get emails out and, again, start spending more time with lots of people that came. This is the son of one of the godly elders and nurses from Itende, and one of the paraplegics. This is an elder and full-time worker that was a graduate of Itende Bible School, a dear friend of mine, again a refugee. This woman in the midst of the war is still making baskets, and we were able to buy some from her to encourage her, to give her some finances. But we had real sweet times of prayer and Bible study, and I saw Loyal and John as my Timothys to disciple them. And it was a wonderful time of discipling them as well. Well, one morning while we were having our Bible study, Tambaki, the work at the Emmaus office, came running and said, "You got to come, you got to come. There's refugees flowing in." He says, "Their village 7 kilometers away has just been burned, and they're killing people, and they fled with whatever they could grab and bring." And so sure enough, 50 people had come in, the women first, and we came to see the situation and to ask them their stories. And then I gathered them all together, and we prayed with them. And then I provided funds for them for the men of the chapel to go and start buying food for them. And we brought in some food for them to be able to start making a meal, and beans and mahole, which is manioc root. And they started distributing it to them so that they could start having food. They gave them places to sleep. And this is the offices down there in the basement of the chapel where the refugees from Nyankundi have set up and are working. And this is the administrative offices for the elementary schools of the assemblies. But outside these offices, they were distributing the food and getting them something to be able to eat. The children sat outside. And again, people kept coming. This is Malona, who is a dentist, and he has securely placed his family in Bunia, but he is way north, about 150 miles to the north. He feels God wants him there as a witness, doing dentistry to the pagans and even to the other tribes. But he cannot sleep in his home at night. He has to sleep in the bush every night because of the danger of their hunting for him. And a real hero, a real warrior of the faith. Well, this is the way that the brethren there fed us the whole time. The guy said, "You got to take a picture of this, but you got to take a picture of this too." We took some American food because as much as they wanted to try everything, they still had to have some American staples to hold them over. John and Loyal were curious about everything, especially the bugs. And they wanted to see all these little ants eating an insect. So I said, "Okay, I'll take a close-up picture for you." So I got down there with a micro picture, did the macro shot, and I was able to give them a close-up of what they were looking at so people could enjoy it as well. The wildlife of Africa comes right into your home. This is Bamuhiga. He is a faithful musician, song leader, but also a distributor of Bibles and tracts, and he was coming asking if I had any source of Bibles for him now. That was just a picture of Loyal sunning himself. We were able to go out and enjoy fellowship with Y. He's the young man right here. This is his garden. In the midst of the fact that his work for MAF was destroyed by MAF pulling out, he decided to get to work and made himself a garden. This land was not very fertile, so he went to the market and collected all the droppings of the animals in the market and started fertilizing the soil. And he had us over for a meal with his friend Elias and his wife, who also worked for MAF, and they shared their food with us. And we had a wonderful evening together of fellowship and of prayer together, eating some of the fruit of his labors, and just encouraging them in the Lord. Well, the next day was another Sunday, and I was scheduled to preach out at Simbiliabo, a small new assembly which was planted by the Bunya Chapel as the Bunya Chapel grew to overflowing. This was a car loaned to us by Compassion International. As we left, I took a couple pictures of the chapel. There, this is Bunya Chapel. And you can see the sign on it. The Church of Christ in Congo, the 39th Community, Emmanuel Community, the Evangelical Assembly of Bunya, the city. We went out to Simbiliabo, which is up in the hills north and east of Bunya. Going through town, we went by a mosque, which is still active with their prayer calls five times a day. The Muslims are present there in Bunya. We went past the monument. There had been a scare during the day. There had been a killing of two soldiers, and so there weren't a lot of people out. You can see the bad roads that we had to go on going north. We stopped at a place for fuel. This is what the gasoline stations look like. And then across the main bridge, you see the erosion on the roads, a lot of rains, and things are not kept up. And then we finally came to where the chapel is. You can see the ditches here are very deep ditches and a one-lane highway. Well, this is where I came to speak. As we walked by, we see some ornate decorations in this yard. And here is the chapel. It's a new work, but the believers there are very active, building a chapel without funds from missionaries or outside the country. And here they're building the new chapel, and they wanted to show it to us. The wonderful work. They were shocked when they took an offering and got $5,000. They didn't know there was that kind of money out there, but God blessed and encouraged them. And they took another offering, and $2,000 was given. But they say, pray that in the midst of our difficulty, we'll be able to finish this chapel. We were there early, and only the children came at first, so it's the time when the young men with their homemade guitars are practicing for the morning service. And then they start with the singing groups. Saying, don't delay, don't hang around, come to Jesus and you will be saved. Again, I had the privilege of preaching there. Even the little children who have a lot of movements, and they sang as well. And then other ladies' groups, a lot of different groups singing. They spend about 40 minutes in singing groups. So they have very extended services there. And then finally I was given the platform, and the Lord laid upon my heart to challenge them about standing up for the truth in the midst of the wickedness around them, seizing the authority that God's given them and not being afraid to lay down their lives for the gospel and for doing what's right. It was a wonderful time. I gave a lot of illustrations, and God, again, touched hearts. Yes, I'm very animated when I'm there, even when I speak in Swahili. And he used a lot of demonstrations. And then at the end, there was a young man who sang and kind of had a theatrical conclusion. It was very moving. There's Elias and Y again talking afterwards. In the out assemblies like this one, they reverse the order of services. They have the Bible teaching first, and then they have the breaking of bread second. And so we had breaking of bread there after the family Bible hour. And this was during that time. Always a precious time to remember the Lord with them. Well, afterwards we took pictures of them. This whole area was attacked during that war. We don't know the situation with a lot of these believers now. Many of them scattered. These were elders and deacons. We returned back into town after that morning service. We were supposed to immediately go back and to have a 1 o'clock in the afternoon young people's meeting. It was calling for several hundred young people from all over Bunya to come for John to give his testimony about how God had saved him out of being a thief. But you see there weren't many people in town. This is the main monument at the center of town with animals from Congo. We unloaded the young people we brought with us, but there was nobody there. The whole city had basically gone into hiding because of the killing of the soldiers. Things were getting tenser and tenser. So we had a big meal, basically to ourselves. Loyal said, "Hey, look at this stuff. Here's the wallpaper paste Jonathan was telling us about. This is called Bugali. It's made out of manioc flour. It's a real sticky, and the only way it has any taste is if you put it in a sauce. By itself, it's just starchy and plain tasting." But some of the elders from the Simbidalo Chapel came down to spend the afternoon with us to hear John's testimony. We had a great time of praying and sharing and fellowshipping together. Just wonderful, wonderful time of hearing their prayer requests and taking it before the Lord. They just need a lot of encouragement. The next morning, we met to encourage the assembly administrative workers over the health work, over the Christian Ed Department, the printing press, all the administrative work for the assemblies, and had a time of Bible study with them, had Loyal share with them, and just had a time of Bible teaching, Bible study with them. Well, right after that, Dave Jacobson was able to come in to Bunya with our big four boxes full of computers and clothing, and so immediately I was able to start setting these up in their offices. They need them for printing and doing a literature work. So we're thankful that the Lord had provided these, and we took them over and started assembling them and putting them all together. It was great how it worked out. They started using them. Loyal even got to work showing them some new features and how they work. And they were very thrilled with their new equipment. Well, with the clothing, we decided to start handing it out, especially to refugees. And to these refugees that were now sleeping in the downstairs of the chapel, start handing it out. And in normal African fashion, you have to be careful. There is a lot of dishonesty. And so to prevent people from saying, "You haven't given me one," we made everybody put one on so that we could see who got one and who didn't. So here they are pushing, even the mothers, putting it on their children. And before you know it, the number of shirts starts multiplying. It was wonderful to have something to give to them to help. Most of them had lost their clothing as their homes were burned, and they left with just a couple things. And we decided to take a picture of them and put them all together. And it was just a wonderful time of being able to help. This is Tom Baki. He's diabetic, but he is faithful. He has no support except what the Lord's people occasionally give him, but he runs the Emmaus Bible Correspondence Course School. And he is right there, has his office in the downstairs of the Bunya Chapel. He doesn't have a lot of materials now. It's been kind of scant as the printing presses have stopped, as Nyankunde was destroyed. It's very hard for him to get materials, but he is faithful and continues working. Works at his desk there. A lot of the pressure of looking after the refugees falls to him being one of the elders, one of five elders of the Bunya Chapel. Life is not easy for them. Here's the Bunya Chapel again. To the left here was where Dina Spearing's house was, where this assembly started in her living room. We are staying in a compound over on this side, which you can see better in this picture. Behind this blue gate is where we are. This building belongs to the assemblies. There is a IV making operation down the bottom and a pharmacy up here.
See, when the day that the battle was fighting, soldiers were all around us here. They were shooting up here. They were hiding in this porch. And it was a real heated battle. That's Dina Spearing's house on the other side of the chapel. This is Baring and Lois McDowell, who served for many years out there. I had never seen this picture of them before. And this dear brother, who's a very close friend of theirs, Lubula, he had this picture, so that's how I took a picture of it. But he is a godly young man. He is a painter. And I'll show you some of his paintings later on. Well, the next thing was to take a visit to an out area. We went to Ruampara, saw many believers I had not seen in a long time. Ruampara is about 10 miles out of, it's about 8 miles out of Bunia, in a dangerous area. But we went out to encourage them there. Let's see. We must be going backwards again. Sorry. Ruampara is where there is a contingency of military, and it's where there's an assembly. This is the chapel there. We met with the elders there. In typical fashion, they receive you and want to talk and pray together. It's a wonderful time. And then they took us around to show us the work that's going on. These are the wives of the Bible school students. Here in the midst of the war, the refugee Bible school students are going on with Bible school. And here is our faithful friend, Bamugera, who he and his wife ride bicycles from Bunia, the 8 miles each way, despite the dangers, to go out and teach Bible school out here at Ruampara. This is inside the chapel, which the believers built themselves out of local rocks. And as we looked out, we saw some of the fires burning that reminded us of the tribal war going on. We saw some cattle, kind of shocked us, because we had heard that most of the cattle had been raided and rustled and stolen by soldiers. It seemed like every direction we looked, there were fires reminding us of the instability. And now to our last set of pictures. These are some of the young people at Ruampara. Curious to see the missionaries, since missionaries have not been there for a while, and they've been young. They were younger when the missionaries left. Loyal and John wanted to see how bananas grow, and so we showed them. And in typical gracious fashion, they had us for a meal and wouldn't let us go without having a meal. They also wanted to show us how the Lord was at least providing for them with medical work. They had some nurses. This is in their clinic. This is their supply of medicines. This is our pharmacy. This is their reception area. This is their maternity. 2 children had been born there just recently. And again, looking out toward Bagoro, where 300 to 400 people had been slaughtered the week we were there. Just a very sad situation. As we came back, we stopped at a market. This is the Shari market. This is where they grind the manioc root that's dried into a flour. This is the manioc leaf that they use as a greens, cook it kind of like spinach. And to my surprise, I saw Bebwa and her sister. She had worked as a house worker for Rex and Nancy Trogdon when they were at Etende. She came to know the Lord there, but she turned away and followed witchcraft and had been away from the Lord. And when I saw her in this market, it was the first time I saw her, she hugged me. And I said, Bebwa, where do you stand with the Lord? And she says, I've come back to the Lord. And this picture was taken after that. It was joyous to be able to see that and hear that. Avocados, different roots. This is how the people shop. This is their supermarket out in the open. Sweet potatoes. Again, the roots of the manioc plant and the elephant ear plant. There are green plantains. Yes, tomatoes, cabbage, leeks at the bottom of the picture there. You can get a lot of different things. A lot of different colored beans. They eat a lot of different beans. And again, different dried roots that they grind up. And bean sprouts, which they use for making moonshine. So alcohol is out there. Well, here's the meat department. This is how the cows are cut up and hung. This is the chopping block, a machete, and they chop the meat right there. This is the skin hung up here. And then right here, the butcher takes and he puts the smaller pieces where he cuts up to size, weighs it out on the scale right here, and that's how you buy your meat. This is not a ghost. This is one of the workers in the flour mill as he grinds the flour and gets all white. Well, on our way back, I was able to take a shot of the Bunia Airport, which is totally surrounded by Ugandan soldiers. This is their military installation, all their huts. For the telephoto camera, I took this. There's anti-aircraft guns there and all. We got back into Bunia, and this was Mondro, another dentist, a faithful fella. Then we went over to the house of the legal representative. This is Nyakufa. He and his family entertained us. The next day was when the war broke out, and sad to say, his house was looted, and they lost everything and had to flee, and now he is in Uganda as a refugee. We got to see Lubula's store in the afternoon. This is the painter. These are some of his paintings that he does himself, never been taught. He just a gift the Lord has given him. But this is not how he uses his gift primarily. He goes around town, and he paints scripture texts on any wall that they will let him paint on. And he does it for free. He says, give me a wall. And he is evangelizing through Bible texts all over the town. So you can see the gift that he has. Well, the next day, the war broke out. Here we are. We were having our morning Bible study. We woke up to gunshots and mortar shells all around us at 6 o'clock. And we had breakfast, and here we're gathering in the inner hallway because of the safety of the thick walls. And we had our Bible study there. And later on, we set up a table there. It was the safest place. The workers started hiding because they were outside and felt they should stay outside. They huddled underneath that fireplace. This will give you some of the...